From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. When the film Fort Apache, The Bronx came out in 1981, it was a hit. Paul Newman played a conflicted cop in a neighborhood ravaged by poverty and drugs. Fort Apache was also controversial. Local community leaders fought with the producers and threatened to sue because of the way the film depicted blacks and Puerto Ricans. As part of our series On Location, NPR's Joel Rose visits the South Bronx 30 years later.
Fort Apache, The Bronx opens in an empty lot full of rubble. A graffiti-covered subway car rumbles by on an elevated track, and a strung-out prostitute, played by Pam Grier, walks up to a police car where two rookie cops are still sipping their morning coffee.
Y'all want to come party with me?
Not now, baby.
I got some fine for New York's finest.
Well, we're on the job.
I'm on my J-O-B, too, just like you. An important job. Y'all just take a look at this.
After shooting the cops, Grier stumbles off. Local citizens emerge from the shadows, grabbing the badges and wallets out of the cops' pockets. At the time, New York City cops really did talk about the neighborhood as hostile territory. That's how the station house in the 41st Precinct earned the nickname Fort Apache.
You know, our lockers were on the third floor, and somebody from across the street shot arrows through the window.
Former cop Peter Tessitore worked at the 41st Precinct in the 1960s. The way Tessitore tells it, one of his colleagues did not take kindly to those arrows.
And Gil said, you know, with a little profanity, what the is this? Fort Apache meaning John Wayne's movie with Indians, etc.
The movie is loosely based on the experiences of Tessitore and another former officer. They were the inspiration for the main character, Murphy, played by Paul Newman. Murphy is a tough but honest cop who cheerfully keeps order on his beat, delivers the occasional baby, and flirts with the nurse at the local hospital.
You need a drink.
I need a nurse.
You supply the booze, I'll supply the nurse.
You asking me out? I get asked out by about 200 nurses every day. Why should I say yes to you?
Because you say yes to all the others.
The 41st Precinct earned another nickname, too, Little House on the Prairie. By 1980, two-thirds of the people who lived in the precinct had fled. Hundreds of landlords resorted to setting buildings on fire to collect the insurance money. And community activists who remained in the South Bronx were not happy to see a high-profile Hollywood production.
They were in our neighborhood. This was our territory. And they were an invading force. They were here to really do us harm, not physical, but rather film something that was not totally true.
This is Herson Barrero. In 1980, he was part of a group of local activists who called themselves the Committee Against Fort Apache. They got a copy of the script before shooting, and they complained that most of the black and Puerto Rican characters portrayed in the film were pimps or drug addicts or worse. The committee demanded changes to the script, they threatened to sue, and they organized public demonstrations against the filmmakers.
Some of the protesters did go a little too far, and yes, there were security concerns on their part.
It got tense.
Christopher Novak was the film's art director.
They started demonstrating and wanting to obstruct shooting. So we had to have security on, and the police presence made it even more difficult. So it was a very tense situation.
Novak says the producers would deliberately try to keep the shooting location secret in order to avoid clashes with demonstrators and other angry residents.
We had a couple of incidents where people got on the rooftops and threw things down at the crew, like toilets. Shattering porcelain from six or seven stories is a pretty exciting event.
The same thing actually happens in the movie when rioters throw a toilet off the roof at the cops. The film's producer, Gil Champion, remembers things differently. He says reports of the protesters disrupting the shoot were exaggerated.
We did change a couple of locations, which we felt wouldn't be the best place to shoot at. But all in all, despite what might have come out in the press, we shot the movie on schedule, on time, made a lot of friends.
Champion says relations with the local residents were basically good, and he rejects the charge that the filmmakers were there to exploit the neighborhood.
We were exposing something that the world hadn't seen, that there was areas like this within our country, and that hopefully there was a chance for people to earn a better life somehow.
Champion says the production also spent a lot of money in the South Bronx and hired neighborhood residents to work as extras. But art director Christopher Novak says there weren't enough jobs available to satisfy the locals.
A movie crew, even though there's a lot of people on it, everybody has a very skilled position in it. And it's also all unionized, and so that was a difficult situation. So we couldn't really offer them jobs.
In interviews at the time, Paul Newman did seem troubled by the charges of racism leveled at the film, but he insisted the script was just as tough on the cops as it was on the pimps and drug dealers. The filmmakers deny that they changed the script to suit the protesters, though Harrison Barrero thinks otherwise.
You still have the blacks and Latinos or Puerto Ricans being prostitutes, dope peddlers, I mean the bad guys. But we saw in the film there was some conveyance of that there were white officers who were really bad also.
The protesters and other activists tried to organize a boycott of Fort Apache when it opened in 1981, but the movie was a box office success despite, or maybe in part because, of their efforts. The protesters did get one thing they wanted. At the beginning of the film, a written disclaimer flashes on the screen acknowledging that the film doesn't deal with law-abiding members of the community or, quote, the individuals and groups who are struggling to turn the Bronx around.
We're right in front of the infamous 41st precinct of the New York City Police Department.
I met Harrison Barrero outside Fort Apache. In the 1990s, this stone bunker of a building was converted into office space for police detectives. Even Barrero had trouble recognizing it.
I mean, this is a beautiful building. It could be any government building. But it used to be an intimidating place with police officers hanging out and looking out like if somehow they were going to be assaulted. It looked like a fortress.
Today, the vacant lots around Fort Apache are filled in with new apartment buildings and single-family homes. It's a diverse working-class neighborhood. If you're looking for the burned-out shell the South Bronx used to be, you'll have to rent the movie because you won't find it here. Joel Rose, NPR News, New York.
Our program is directed by Jonathan Baer, edited by Corey Turner and Allison McAdam, and produced by Matt Martinez. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the Washington desk, Ron Elving, Beth Donovan, Neil Carruth, Kathy Shaw, and E.B. Stone. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.